Good evening. A few weeks ago, the American R&B singer-songwriter Alicia Keys released a cut from her upcoming album. And since then, that song has gone viral. It's entitled, "We Are Here." And it begs the listener to fill in the blank to that phrase. But as a society, as a community, as an individual, we are here to do what? And for whom? Well, there are many answers to that question. On this 25th Sunday of Ordinary Time, which is designated by the American bishops as Catechetical Sunday, we are reminded that we are here to catechize, to teach our faith by what we do and what we say. Thus, this Sunday is a time to give thanks and blessings for the teachers and volunteers who give of their time to teach our faith to this Princeton Catholic community. But at the same time, we need to remember that we are all called to catechize, which literally means to verbally communicate the message of Christ. This form of communication is foundational to our church. Since the early church, all the stories we have today were passed down from generations, relying only on the word of mouth. It wasn't until about 20 years after the death of Christ that St. Paul began to write his letters. And it wasn't another 10 or 15 years before Mark would write his gospel, followed later by the other gospel writers. That's why Christ focuses his teachings with storytelling, often in the form of a parable. Layered with meaning, parables are designed to rattle you a bit, make you feel uncomfortable, so that you're focused to think differently. Christ knew that without the challenge of the parable, we would not move away from our mental status quo. For parables require us to pause, to think differently, to get outside ourselves and to get inside the story, to move away from our comfort zone so that we may be able to look, see, and hear, and listen, and understand differently, and thus be open to God. And this Sunday is no exception, as the lectionary gives us one of the more rattling parables written. In short, what we just heard was a story that it would be as if a local farmer came in and said he was going to hire this section of the church first thing in the morning and give them a full day wages. And then around noontime, he comes and hires this section of the church over here to do the same. And then later in the day, he comes back and hires Ernie and his family sitting up in the choir loft to work the last hour. Then come evening, after a few brews down at Triumph Brewery, all of a sudden, everyone gets paid the same full day wages. I would probably wager that many on the left and the right here would start to scream unfair. After all, in our Western culture, since when is it fair that a person who works all day and a family who would work only an hour get paid the same wage? Now, how is this good news? But clearly, this parable has nothing to do with minimum wage, nothing to do with labor laws, and nothing to do with affirmative action. Rather, it's a clear message to us that our salvation is a gift from God and not something we can earn. The kingdom of God is not a matter of reward, but a matter of rejoicing in the fact that we're all invited into the reign of God, the first as well as the last, the faithful as well as the sinner, the old-timers as well as the newcomers. The landlord was generous on several occasions with different people. With the first group, he was just. With the second group, he was just and generous. And in the third group, he was just more generous. In short, the landlord freely gave everyone his gift of generosity. But you see, we seem to miss that. Instead, we spend our time comparing ourselves to others. Look how much he got paid. See what she is doing. Her kid got into Princeton. Why did he get the job I wanted? Look who's living with who. Look who's sleeping with who. And so on. But part of what Christ is saying in this parable is, what's that to you? We just heard the first reading My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. In essence, he has his path. She has her path. His path is not her path. Your path is not his path. How much time and useless time do we spend focused on what about them mentality? But since we were very young, this issue about what is fair has been ingrained in our psyche. In our early years, we ask questions such as, why do I have to wear a school uniform? Why does my brother get to sit in the front seat of the car? Why do I have to take out the garbage? Why do I have to do my homework? As we get older, questions dig deeper into our souls. Cries such as, why is there war? Why do I have cancer? Why am I an alcoholic? Why do I not have a job? Why did my spouse leave me? We often say to ourselves, life is not fair. See, our challenge is that we spend so much time focused on what could have been, or what should have been, or what's going to happen next, that we miss the here and the now. We focus on the past. We zero in on others. We pride ourselves on filling our calendar so we can say how busy we are. But we miss just this. The here, the now, the moment. This is the gift God gives us. The ever-present indwelling of God. This moment, no matter how good, how painful, how joyful, how confused, just this. I was at a conference a couple weeks ago in Albuquerque, listening to my friend Father Richard Rohr, who suggested we try going through the day using the mantra, just this. Stuck in traffic? Just this. Watching kids play in sports? Just this. Burned dinner? Just this. Someone walked out of your life? Just this. Life seems unfair? Just this. See, in doing so, this mantra forces us to pause. It focuses us on the present and opens our eyes to places where we may have been wounded or hurt or we're just unsettled. And versus looking at the past or the future or what some other person has or is doing, it takes us to a place where we find the face and the grace of God. For it's in God that we will find the strength to let go of the pain and the hurt and allow us to follow the example, not of the vineyard workers who complained of the generosity of the landlord, but rather of our God, whose generosity is available to us at the beginning of the day, the top of the day, at quitting time and throughout the night. God is more generous, more loving, and more forgiving than we can ever comprehend. So as we say goodbye to summer this weekend and enter this cool and crisp season of transformation, we are here to give thanks to all those who catechize and who are generous with their time. And we are here to remember that no matter what challenges we face or woundedness we struggle with each day, before we are tempted to exclaim, unfair, let us look inward. Let us look at just this, and ask our loving and forgiving God to heal our wounds and calm our fears so we may continue our daily work in the vineyard of the Lord.